Okay, so today's daf in Masechet Chulin begins the second perek. Can you imagine? We're already deep into Chulin. I wouldn't say we've shechted Rov yet, but we're getting there gradually. We'll actually see that if you take a long time doing your shechita, it's not called Shehiyah, but we'll get to that. Hashochet echad be'ov u'shnayim bivhema. Shechitato kshira. Very strange statement. It's not as if you could do much more than that, you know? I mean, so if you shecht both the kana and the veshet, and remember, as we've learned until now, when it comes to shechitas chulin, which of course is our topic, the din is that a bird only requires either the kana or the veshet. Now remember that there is another din when it comes to the question of kachim, but that's not because of shechita, but it's because, as we learned yesterday, not yesterday, as we learned last week, there's a din of havdalah. And that's okay, that's a special halacha in terms of the Eilas HaOv, but that requires you to cut through, but it does not come from the dinim of Malika, it comes actually from the dinim of kosher. So what's strange is to say, well, it's kosher. Well, I mean, it's kosher. I mean, what it should say is that's what you have to shecht. There's nothing more that you can do than that. And it's clearly not talking about just if you shecht a little bit, because then it adds v'rubo shalechot kamo. So the beginning was talking about a shechita through the entire shnei simanim, shnayim bivehima, both the kana and the veshet. Let's just remember our terminology once again. The kana is also sometimes called the gargaret, and it is made like a dryer pipe, exit pipe, where it has the taba'ot, ketanot, going all the way from the lungs up, or the bronchi anyway, going all the way up from the top of the lungs to the, that was a machlokas, how far it goes, but it goes up to the tabat hagdola. It could be that the shechita extends further than that, as we paskin, that hagrama is kosher in that area. But in any event, that's the din. There's nothing else you could do. So if it says if you shech both the kana and the veshet, it's only kosher? I mean, what would Mahadrin do? Because there are more that they could do? Rabbi Yehuda, amen? No, actually, when it comes to the bird, that's not enough, because you'd have to actually be shochet et havridim. So he's only talking about, as we'll see, he's only talking about the oaf. And it's true that according to Rabbi Yehuda, what we need actually is to get all of the dam of the oaf out. We're going to see tomorrow what the mocker of Rabbi Yehuda is. And therefore, you should shech the vridim. So as far as the vridim are concerned, the pashtus is, remember, we've got veins and we've got arteries. So the question whether the vridim is the jugular vein, or whether the vridim are the carotid arteries, or whether they're both, there's some discussion in that, but Lamaisa, we'll talk about it when we get to Rabbi Yehuda. And now, what if you just shechted exactly half, chatzi echad ba'of, precisely half, or even one and a half of a behema? Well, then that shechita would be kosher. And even if you do one and a half, which together would equal more than the rove of both simonim put together, and this is the chiddush that's here. So let's say you have a large kana and a very small veshet, and you cut through half of each one. So if included in that half of each one would be most of the entire area, because you did, let's say, three quarters of the kana, that wouldn't help. We look at each one of them separately. But if you shechted one rove in a bird, or rove of both in a behema, then shechitato kishera, which is very repetitive. The Gemara is going to ask, what do I need that for? Anyway, but you say hashochet only if you did it that way? Like, that's not good enough, lechatchila, but we'll accept it b'diavad. B'diavad in lechatchila lo. If you did it that way, we'll accept it. I mean, how the heck could you do more than that? Shnayim b'vema, lechatchila lo, it's not enough to shechtu. Ad kama lishchot v'lezo. I mean, how much would you like him to shecht? It can't possibly be talking about, as Tosis points out, well, maybe you're supposed to also cut the vridim, because there's no Tana that holds that you should cut the vridim by a mammal. Rabbi Yehuda was only talking about an oaf, as we'll see. So then how do we explain the language of the Mishnah? Well, maybe the Lashon of the Bidyavad is if you only shecht one in the oath. So even though that's completely kosher, that's all that you need to do as far as the D'oraisa is concerned, maybe there is a mitzvah, l'chatchila, to shecht both in order that you don't come to a situation where you think you cut rove, but you really didn't. And this way, at least if we have you cutting both, so then for sure you're going to do what is necessary midiraisa. Maybe that's the point. So once we needed to talk about hashochet b'diavad when it came to the bird, we talked about hashochet b'diavad when it came to the mammal. Or you could say that what the reference is when it says hashochet, that is including the phrase rubo shel echad komo. That's the point. Meaning that hashochet rubo shel echad, that is perfectly good midiraisa, but it's only bidiavad because l'chatchila we want you to shecht the whole simon or the whole bo simonim in order to avoid a situation where you think you did the entire rove, but you didn't. So this way, if you have to go through the whole thing l'chatchila, so then it would be the mitzvah derabbana. Okay, I mean, the truth is, it's a big machlokas rishonim about whether both of these tirutzim are true or not. And are you actually supposed to cut through the entire thing? And if you didn't, it's only b'diavad. And of course, the Ashkenazim are machmir, that this is, you know, they're even Torah fit b'diavad, you know, just to make sure that people don't can make a kula on it in terms of both. But the truth is, it's not so clear. It could be, according to the Rif, that it's only the part that says the chatchila, you have to do the whole thing. That is the part that's important, not the shnayim ba'of. But as I say, semachlokas were machmer across the board. Omer of Kahana. How do we even know any of this? Where does it say in the Torah that you're supposed to shecht an animal from its neck? Is that like only halacha lemash b'Sinai? Or is there, in fact, a clear pasuk that indicates that, or at least a remez in the pasuk that indicates it? So Rav Kahana says, I suggest that since it says v'shachat et ben habakar, the very word v'shachat means shachat. Shachat means the place b'mokom sheshach, the place where the animal bends, is the place where chat. Chat could either mean chatehu in terms of making it kosher, or chatehu could mean clean it out of its blood. But the lashon of chitui, remember, is lashon of cleaning, as we'll see. Mimaidai chatehu is elishta dedakuyehu. Where do we see that we Torah uses that word of chatehu to mean clean it out, either in the sense of making it tohar, meaning through shrita, or clean it out of its blood? We see from v'chite et habayit. So over here, where we're talking about saraz, and we're talking about doing the whole seder advarim that's mitayer the bayit, and it says v'chite. So clearly, v'chite means to clean, either in the physical sense. Here it would mean in terms of blood. Now there's a machlokas rishonim which we're talking about, but both fit the gemara fine. We say techateini be'ezov v'tayer. And we also see that we have the bakosha of David HaMelech to clean me with the Ezov, and then I will be a Tahar. So again, we find both of the Lishonot are perfectly okay. Now, if you're telling me that we're looking for where the animal bends, I mean, you know, I think an animal's tail bends very nicely. I mean, maybe we should do Shechita at the tail. You know, that would be a lot easier. So maybe that's what we got to do. No, come on. Shach means it bends, but normally it is straight, right? So shach bichlash is zakuf be'ina. It needs to be something that's normally erect, which is zakuf. And now, once in a while, the animal will bend it. But the tail is shach v'omedu. I mean, almost always the tail is bent. That's its natural state. So that can't be what it's referring to. Okay, well, what about its ear? But ears are usually perked up, and sometimes an animal will lower its ear. Yeah, but how can you shecht from an ear? You won't get any dam ha-nefesh. I mean, it's talking about kachim over there, right? V'shachat et ben ha-bakar. I mean, what are you going to do shechting through the ear? You're not going to be able to do any of the zrikas ha-dam or anything like that. Well, yes, you could. You could just keep going. I mean, if you start at the ear and you keep cutting, you're going to get to dam ha-nefesh. So maybe that's where you're supposed to start. Start at the year. The end of the car of Azula Damanefesh. Anyway, this whole thing is like a study in futility. I mean, you're telling me we know Shechita. I mean, come on. And how do you know Shehiya? And how do you know Drosa and Chalada and Hagrama and Ikor? All of those dinim. You learn this all out of where you bend your head, come off it. I mean, clearly the whole thing is a Gemara, that's a halacha that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu. So Shechita not Safar Nami Gemara, but this is not a serious search. So what does the pasuk really mean? The shachat. The shachat means that you should not, the lowly shavi gistra. The shachat refers to just go as far as you need to go in order to make it kosher. And therefore, only chateyu, and don't cut more than that. So now we don't want you to actually cut through also the neck bone. So this is the question of whether you actually, you shouldn't do it, or you don't need to do it. But this is, Rashi just takes the pashtas, that it's not necessary to do it. That's not part of the shechita. But others learn that actually you should not cut more. That would have to do with the question of the chashash, of making it a treifa. Rav Yemar Amar, I got another place, because you went to Vishachat, and I say Vizavachta. Look, remember the chiv of shechita on chulin. It's what we're talking about over here. So the pasuk says, Ki yirchak mimcha ha-makom vizavachta mi-bekorcha o-mi-tzonecha. Vizavachta itself means, bimokom she-zav, the place where the animal flows, that's where chateihu, that's where you should break it into two. So that must be at the throat. Well, first of all, where do you get the lashon of chateihu means to break through it? My mashmad I chateihu lishta demitbaru. Dichtiv, al tirav, al techat. Don't be afraid and don't break your heart. I mean, like, what are you getting so nervous about? So now it says, wherever it will flow, that's where you should cut. Okay, so animal noses are always leaking a little bit. You know, they've got runny noses. So maybe it means you should cut off his nose. So the shechita should be wherever an animal's got a runny nose, that's where you should do the shechita. No, it says chateu. That means if it's running because of your shechita, not if it's got a runny nose because of its allergies. So hi zav mi'elavu. This is just a running nose. We're not talking about running noses. We're talking about your running out that blood. So that can't be. Okay, so then maybe it means stab it through the heart. Lots of blood if you'll stab it through the heart. I mean, if you're interested in getting that zav, so why does it mean the heart? And anyway, as we pointed out before, this is just, as we said, a study in futility. How are you going to learn out Shehiya, Drisa, Chalada, Hagrama, Ikor? By the time you get through this stuff, you should remember the five Sula Shechitas, because every time we do this, we're going to do the same thing. So it's a good chazorah. So where would we know all of those different dinim of shechita? None of them are mentioned in a pasuk. So why are you looking for the mokum shechita in the neck? It's a gemara. The whole thing shechita minat tzavar nami gemara. So then why did the Torah say it in this way? The lo l'shavi gistra here too. Same halacha. Only do what you need to do in order to be zav. Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, it says in the pasuk, same pasuk of Kahana Bar, the shachat et ben habakar. Don't read that vishachat, but rather visachat. Visachat, remember, we can actually sometimes substitute a shin with a sin. So it means, bimbokom shesach chateyu, the place where the animal speaks, and that would be its larynx, that's where to be chateyu. Maybe it means its tongue. Cut the tongue. I mean, it uses its tongue to make noise too, doesn't it? Well, if you cut the tongue, you're not going to get any dama nefesh. And the Torah says, ki adamu benefesh yichaper. And that's what it says in terms of kachim. So how could it mean to cut its tongue? Well, I mean, it's the same thing. You start cutting at the tongue, and then you keep on going. Anyway,
Where would we know Shehiya Drasa Chalada Hagrama Ikur? You remember it yet? Shehiya Drasa Chalada Hagrama V'Ikur. Where would we know all that? Obviously, it's a Gemara. Shchita min HaTzavar, Nami Gemara. And why did the Torah say it this way? Dilo L'Shavye Gistra. Now, that's all dinim that we learned from various shitas of the Amorai, but there's a Tana that actually brings it from a different pasuk, to Tanya. Rabbi Chiya Omar, minayin l'shchita min HaTzavar, interesting pasuk. It says, v'orchu b'nei Aharon HaKohanim et ha-nitachim, et ha-rosh ve'et ha-podim. So the B'nai Aaron should put onto the Mizbeach and arrange them nicely, the various butchered pieces of the animal, and then it mentions separately, and the head, and the fats, right? Now, the question is, why does it need to say that? I mean, if you said anitachim, wouldn't that include the Rosh Vetapoder? So mata mudomarta Rosh Vetapoder. Halo Rosh Vetapoder, bichlal kol anitachim ayu. I mean, you said all of the pieces. I'd like to see an animal that you shechted that didn't have a head. So obviously, that head was part of the pieces. Why mention it separately? So look, nitachim seem to be connected directly to hafshata. So if you're going to skin the animal, those pieces that are skinned are the pieces that are the nitachim. But you don't skin the head. So which nitachim is it referring to here? Those parts of the animal that are still part of a single organism. But the head, remember, once you cut through the kona and the veshet, then for all intents and purposes, that head is kimonach bedikula damya. This is a Gavi terminology. Kimonach bedikula damya means it's as if that head is sitting in a basket. It's not really part of the animal as a whole. And that's a words that we're going to encounter later in the Gemara. Here Rashi mentions it. So it's as if it's monach bedikula. And therefore, since we don't skin the head together with the rest of the skinning, then maybe we don't view the head as one of the netachim because it wasn't part of the hafshata. So how do we know that the rosh shekvar hutaz, the head that's already been cut off, which means, as I said, not literally cut off, but kimonach betikula, Talmud Lomar, that's why the Torah has to say this pasuk. And guess what the Gemara does now? Messes up the whole thing by giving us the wrong pasuk. Before we said, we're looking for et ha-rosh ve-et ha-poder. Why does it have to mention et ha-rosh ve-et ha-poder? And now, to prove the point, the Gemara brings a completely different pasuk, which is et rosho ve-et pidro, which is a completely different v'nitach oto l'nitachim v'nitacha ve-et rosho ve-et pidro v'arach ha-kohen otam. That's not the right pasuk. But anyway, it certainly does say in that pasuk as well, rosh ve-poder. So, Midika Omar et Aroshi Kvar Hutaz. The only way of justifying the extra words in the Torah were by pointing out that the head is no longer connected. And what does that mean? That you must have shechted through the simanim of the head. That's why it's no longer connected. If the Torah had to therefore go out of its way to include the Rosh HaPadar and the Padar in the actual Nitachim, so it's a Raya, that it, in fact, was cut through. Bichlal d'shchita min ha-tzavar. So that teaches you the very fact that we need this pasuk is clear that you've already shechted it through the throat. So now, if you're looking for a remez in the Torah, the need of this pasuk is the most striking remez, Tainiz Rabbi Chiya, that the Torah is taking for granted, that we need a special pasuk to be marba the rosh. I see that yesterday's sugya of the Temed is still affecting our poor Alon, and he's under the influence. Hey, but wait a minute. Rabbi Chiya started off claiming that he's going to tell me why it says, et harosh ve'et hapader. And then, instead of explaining that, he switches to a different pasuk, right smack bang in the middle of his braisa. What happened over here? Brucey, aren't you concerned with what happened over here? Absolutely. So if the Tana starts looking for an explanation, of Rosh and Pader, and then he brings, in fact, a different pasuk, which is Rosho Upidro. How do you explain that? I'll tell you. You have to understand that this is shorthand. Rabbi Chiya was actually making a complex reference. So he was saying, you know how to end those words, right? Ninayin l'rabo, tatarosh, shekvar hutaz, talmud lomar, tatarosh, v'tapod. I mean, that's what you're expecting. So you already heard that in your brain. I'm not going to waste time spelling out things that your brain already told you. And you're not going to know whether I told it to you or whether you told it to you. So what the heck? So let me move on. So then, continues the Braita. So then, why does it say Rosho Upidro? Ah, that is to tell me, as the Braita continues. Minayin l'rosh v'peder, shekodmim l'kol ha'nitachim. How do we know that the first thing that you bring up to the Mizbeach is the Rosh and the Peder? That's why we have that extra pasuk, et rosho ve'et pidro v'arach. Right next to the word v'arach is rosho u'pidro. But I understand, that tells me the head. And it tells me that I have to bring up the Rosh and the Pader. But what do I need the first Pader for? Et ha-Rosh ve'et ha-Pader, you didn't explain that. The Pader is only, you only get to the fats after you've done the butchering. You've only told me why it needs to say the head, because the head is disconnected. I've never seen an animal wearing its fat on the outside, except some humans maybe. But usually, the fat is all on the inside, right? So, why did it say that first Pader? So the Peder Kama Lama. Ah, nice. Mi boyle lekine Tanya. That I need for another din. Kate Sadhu said, what is the correct way of bringing up the Rosh? You cover over the Beit HaShchita, which is bloody and ugly. So you carry the head upside down with the Mokom HaShchita facing upwards. And on top of the Mokom HaShchita, you cover that area with a clean piece of fat. And there, you're Ma'aleu holding it like that. V'zeo terach de kavod shel ma'ala. That is much more mechubad to do it in that fashion. Anyway, that was one Tana, shulud by Rabbi Chiya. And there's another Braita that brings yet another pasuk. The high Tana, there's another Tana that brings it from the following. Look at this Braita. The Tanya. Zot Torat HaBehema V'Ha'Of. So now this is in the middle of the sugya of Tuma the Tyra. And it says over there, Zot Torat HaBehema V'Ha'Of, comparing a behema and an oaf. Now, there is no comparison, my friend. No comparison whatsoever. I mean, come on. The bird, remember, the only way that a kosher bird is metame benevela is very strange. It's only while you're swallowing it. Well, if you actually swallow it and it goes into your beit habliyah, then it's considered to be a source of tumah as an avela. If you touch it, if you carry it, whatever you do to it, it's not going to be metame you unless you swallow it. Now, suppose, don't you think Ori should be here for this? I mean, she's been missing the past few days. What's going on? She's already so old that she no longer cares about the daf. This is a disaster. Ori, telling you, once you put a pigtail on, it's all over. My gosh. Anyway, I have to get everyone's attention here. So, the question is, if they're completely different, and now they're makabel tumah, suppose somebody stuffs a piece of mammal nevela into your mouth. You don't touch it. You don't carry it. He puts it right into the beit habliyah and you swallow. Will it be metame you? Absolutely not. So essentially, they're mirror images of each other. I mean, what we could even have said before was, ha-tohar benivlas ha-of, tame benivlas behema. You know, we missed that one. But certainly you can't say it's the same, can you? What possible din is there an equivalence between a bird and a mammal, or a mammal to a bird? A behema is metame bimaga if you touch it, if you carry it. But if you touch a bird that is dead, an oaf tahar, eno metame bimagu bimasa. You do not become tame. An oaf is metame begadim abet abliyah. But it will be metame, you and even the begonim that you're wearing while it goes down your throat. But a behema is not going to be metame you at all. So why does the Torah make this equivalence between a behema and an oaf? Be'ezel Torah, shafta behema la'ofa of la behema. There's only one thing that it could possibly be teaching me, and that is to tell me that just like a mammal needs shechita, because it says, v'shachatet ben abakar, that's beferish. So af oaf b'shechita. It means that birds require shechita. But I mean, if I'm learning it out of mammals, then it should be the same type of shechita, right? So imala halan barov shnayim, just like in the case of a mammal, you need to do a shechita of both the kona and the veshet beruba. Afkan barov shnayim. So then here too, it should be the same thing, and I should need to cut through both. So therefore, how do I know that that is not the case? Talmud lomar, zot torat habehema va'ov. So only part of this din, not the entire thing. So zot is obviously a mute. And it's saying there's not a complete similarity between behema and an oaf. And now, so far we haven't learned who the Tana is that learns the Mokum of Shechita from a different place. Now the Braisa continues with the Shechita of Rabbi Yezer, and he, we will see, is what who were we referring to when we said that the Tana, another Tana besides Rabbi Chia, brings it from here. That's Rabbi Yezer. Rabbi Yezer, Omer, I'll tell you, Be'ezer Torah, Shafta Be'mala Ov, Ov Le'Be'ma. That's to tell you where to do Shechita. So when it comes to malika of a bird, didn't the Torah tell you exactly where you're supposed to do the malika? Your molak mimul arpo? Okay, so then that's what it's coming to compare. And it's not coming for the mammal to teach you about the bird. It's coming to the bird to teach you about the mammal. That's the point. So just like we're given by the bird in the Torah Beferish. The Mokum of Shechita is on the neck, albeit the back of the neck. We'll talk about that in a moment. So therefore, also here, the Hechsher should be Minat Savar, which means that now I know the Mokum of Shechita is similar to the Mokum of Malika. It's the neck. No tails, no ears, no tongues, and no hearts. It's the neck. Ayotaina, but if that's the case, Malika is only done mimul or pose. It's got to be done in the back of the neck, the nape of the neck, by Avkan. So if we're going to be learning out the Mokum of Shechita from the Malika of a bird, so then Avkan mimul oref. Tamud lomar, umalak et rosho mimul or po velo yavdil. Why does it say rosho? I've already said the rosh. To tell me only rosho shel zeh mimul or po. Only what we're talking about here, namely the oaf is mimul orpo. But ein rosho shel acher, in order to be matir, another type of organism, that is to say the mammal, that is not done mimul oref. That's done in the front of the oref. So it gives us yet another moker for saying that shechita is from the oref. But wait a minute. According to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no meaning to zot torat because zot is a miut, right? And we don't need a miut because we're learning from the bird to the animal, and the zot would mean that, if anything, we got to prove that it's more, not less. Zot is a miut. Rabbi Eliezer has to expand the simon echad to be two simonim. So what the heck does he do with the word zot? Well, I'll tell you. If it wouldn't be for zot, I would have thought that just like a bird is enough b'siman echad. Af be'ema b'siman echad. Therefore, the Torah writes, zot, this is the only part that we're comparing, the where and not the what. And therefore, if you shecht a behema, you would need to do both simanim. Tani Bar Kapora. Bar Kapora understood that pasuk differently. And he said, zot, take a look at the order of the pasuk. Zot Torat Habeima Ve'a'of. And it doesn't end there. If you look at the Pasuk, it says, Zot Torat Habeima Ve'a'of V'chol Nefesh HaChaya HaRomeset B'mayim. Oh, wow. So then that means we're talking about first mammals, then birds, and then fish. So we're putting them in that order. Now, it says Bar Kappar, why do you think we put it in that order? To teach me something. Hitil HaKatuv La'ov Bein Be'ema L'Dagim. So the Torah puts birds as a midway between fish and mammals. Why does it do that? Because, look, to teach you, L'Chayvo B'Shnei Simanim Yifshah. We're not going to say that you need to shech both the kuna and the veshet, because this is a three-way hekesh. You're comparing these three things together in terms of how to be matra. So if the bird is like a fish, then you don't need both simonim like a mammal. But you cannot say that it doesn't need anything like a fish, lepotro belo klumi efshar, because there's also the hekesh to the mammal. So how do we understand it? We understand it as a midway. If the hechsher of a mammal is with two simanim, and the hechsher of a fish is with a sifa bi'alma, as we're going to see, you don't need to actually cut anything to make it kosher. So therefore, it's midway, and one simon would be sufficient. Hey, by the way, how do you know that you don't need to shecht fish? Now, you're taking that for granted, but is there a remez in the pasuk? Dagim delav b'nei shechita ninu minolan. Is it because in that beautiful conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all right, we'll give them the meat they're looking for. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you'll never make them happy. It doesn't matter what the heck you give them. If you took all the tzon and bakar in the entire world, what, you think they're going to be happy then? Or if you gather together all of the fish. Now, how come when it comes to the tzon ubakar, it talks about shechita, and when it comes to the fish, it talks about asifa? So is that the reason that you see that fish only need to be gathered? Asifa is sufficient for fish. So then, but it says the same thing by the slav, which is, of course, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu ended up bringing, which is neither fish nor mammals, which fits right into the discussion that we're having, something between fish and mammals. And it uses the same lotion of asifa. It says, vaya'asfu et aslav. Are you going to tell me that those birdies, those little slav birdies, they don't need shechita? Didn't you just say you need shechita? Hanami de lo b'shechita? You just proved to me, Bar Kappara, you yourself said, lepotro belo klumi efshar, because they're already compared to mammals. So how can you tell me that asifa means you don't need shechita? Ha-ha! So how do you know that the fish don't need shechita? Come on, there's a tremendous difference. If you're in the middle of a discussion, you're talking about all of the mammals in the world, atzon uvakar, and then you suddenly switch verbs, and you say, instead of yishachet lehem, you say yeyasef lehem, for the fish. No. Obviously, you're trying to make a distinction between the fish, which require asifa, and the mammals that require shechita, right? I mean, if you're talking about the slav is not in the context of shechting anything else. It just says asifa. Asifa could mean either. It's the context that proves that the fish don't need shechita. And so the whole thing over here, fascinatingly, turns out to be contextual in terms of the placement. If we're putting together mammals, birds, and fish, or we're contrasting fish to mammals, then it's the contrasts and the comparisons that define the dinim. Isn't that fascinating? Is anybody fascinated? You should be. Because, as we're about to see, the entire point of the Gemara is that it views this arc that is going essentially fish, bird, mammal, as being a description of evolution, and that therefore it gives you different dinim of shechita. And because of that, as the Gemara is going to point out, now by the Over Galilah, so there was this darshaner used to come from the Galil. Some say that he lived in Chatzor. Anyway, so he used to walk around giving drushas. And one of the drushas that he gave was, the behima, the Torah speaks about the behima in terms of the earth bringing forth behima, right? So then that means that it's at a stage in which it's already developing out of animals that were walking on the land. So land is pretty solid. And over there, we've had our Ramazan that you need Shnei Simanim. So there's a deeper connection to air. If you're a land animal, then you're an air breather, right? If you're an air breather, then we want you to cut through both the airway and the eating way, and that is the solidity of a mammal. And therefore, you need Shnei Simanim. Now, Dogim, they come from the water, as it says in the Pasuk, that the water bring forth these fish and so on. So they evolved in the water. And therefore, they don't need to have anything cut, because we know that fish are very much at home in their medium, and they don't need to bring in their medium, and therefore they are continually surrounded by their water. But the oaf, which is midway, was created from mud, as we'll see from the psukim, it only requires cutting one of the simanim. And Rav Shmuel Kaputko points out you can actually see these stages of evolution in the bird. If you take a look at the feet of a bird, they have remnants of the scales from when they were developing from fish. So fish have completely covered with scales, and the feet of Ofot, Yeshlem Kaskeset Biraglehem Kitagim. So they still maintain the scales on their feet. So that means they're midway, so to speak. They stood up on their feet from the water, and now they're able to be part of the rest of the world. And then, now this is an interesting, it's really a machlokas of the year, who was talking to whom. So in Bechorot, we have this Roman who was always challenging either Rabbi Gamliel or it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as Tosis points out. So Rashi talks about this has been a continuation of a conversation with Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, but whoever it is, Sha'alo, whoever he is, we know it was Kuntrikon, who was the Roman that would ask these questions. So he showed him a biblical criticism, which he often did, that one pasuk says, Yomer Elohim, Yishretzu Hamayim, Sheretz, Nefesh Haya, Va'of Yofef. Now, what does it say here? It says that the water brings forth creatures, which include flying creatures, Ophio Faith. Now, that says to me very clearly that birds actually evolved in the water. And it's the water that brings them forth, and we view them as water creatures. So, Alma, Mimaya Yibru, you see very clearly from there that they are considered to be creations of the water. But the problem is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to present the various animals to Adam HaRishon and to ask him what the names are, there it says, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim min ha'adama, kol chayata sadeh, ve'kol of ha'shamayim. Here it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made out of the ground creatures all of the variations of the chayot and all of the birds of the sky, which implies that they are actually a later stage of evolution and they come from the Ara. Now, how do you explain that? Apparently, your Moses got things mixed up a little bit. Ha, huh, Gamliel, what do you say? So, Alma Miara, Ivru. So, Rabbi Gamliel, or Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, again, it depends, Rashi and Tosfos, said to him, Amar lo, Minarekak Nivru. They were created from a middle stage of actually, like some amphibians, they live in mud, and therefore they're midway. They contain a lot of orets in them. They climb up on the ground, go back into the water, and they're therefore considered to be midway. You could talk about them as coming from the earth, and you could talk about them as coming from the water, because after all, the rakak is actually, and it actually is very, very rich in evolutionary terms, rakak. Those are like the tidal basins and things like that, where you have an opportunity to be exposed both to being on dry land and being in the middle of the ocean and being in the middle, all if that is your environment. So he said to them, they came from mud. So anyway, he sees his talmidim looking at each other. Huh? That's weird. So after this Roman guy goes out of the room, he says to them, hey guys, what's your problem here? You know? What's the matter? I'm supposed to talk intelligently to this Roman jerk? I tell him something. You know, it doesn't have to mean anything. So I used a straw and I gave him an answer. I'll tell you the real answer, though. The real answer is that they actually are water creatures, which is what he showed from the first pasuk that he brought, that it's min hamayim. So they're only in this pasuk is the description of all of the things that were brought to Adam HaRishon. So you have to make a break. Vayitzer mina adama, that's the kochaya. Then the oaf hashamayim is vayavim el adam. So there's a break in the middle, and the vayitzer is not referring to the last piece. It's just the bringing them to Adam. Lamevien al adam, vayavim el adam, lirot ma yikral. That was for kriyat shemot. But you made the mistake of believing that it was all part of the vayitzer. Now, the truth is that there's a completely different way of saying over the Maisa. And that is, Yeshomri b'lashon acher amar lo ta'egmon. To the Roman, he said, the second thing, that here we said first was what he said to the Talmidim is the real Pirush. And he did not believe that that's the real Pirush. Because as we're going to see, the word vayitzar as the verb has two objects very clearly in this pasuk, and it's extremely unlikely that there's a break in the pasuk between the verb and the second object in a phrase. So because of that, the real answer was the Lashon Acher. That's what he said to the hegemon, because it wasn't true, and he didn't want to expose him to reality entirely. So he told him, well, you have to split the pasuk into verb object, which is the vayitzer on the chaya, and then you have another sentence, another phrase in the sentence, which is, and he brought the ofot to the odem that wrote ma'yikralo. But he didn't really believe that. And that's what the Talmidim were looking at each other and saying, that's weird. All right, you have to read the pasuk like that. But what he said originally about their coming from the Rakak, that is actually what he said afterwards to the Talmidim, that the real explanation is that this is a middle stage between fish and mammal. And the reason we say that is because the second part of the Of HaShamayim is part of the phrase, the objective phrase on Vayitzer, Dechtiv al Vayitzer. So it's very, very messy. And it looks extremely dochuk to break the object into two parts, since it's written on the opening verb of vayitza. And there is no other verb, before we mention the birds. Omer Rav Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Pinchas. I hold there isn't even a din of shchita on ofot min haTorah at all. The whole thing is a drabbanan. The Torah was only interested in shchita, because of the Zavarta Kasher Tziviticha, and it talks about all of your Bokar Vitzon, but doesn't say anything about birds, and I don't believe that there is a real Mokar, even though we said before that there is a Zotorat Adam, Zotorat HaBeimah V'Ha'Of. We have a lot of other limudim. I mean, if you hold like Rabbi Eliezer, the limud there is to teach me that you're supposed to do shchita the same way you do malika. It has nothing to do with shchita of an oaf. So fine, that's the way he may learn that pasuk too. The reason that I tell you that there cannot be a din of shchita la'of min haTorah is because if you take a look at the halacha of kisui hadam, so what does it say there? It says, v'ish ish b'bnei Yisrael min hager agar b'tocham asher yatsud tzeit chaya o oaf asher yeachem v'shafach et damo v'chisohu be'ofar. So it says over there, spill out its blood and cover it, that is the blood, with ofar. Now, it doesn't say a word about shechting to spill out its blood. So obviously, as far as the Torah is concerned, there is no shechita. There's only shvicha. Wait a minute. If that's what you believe, Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Pinchas, if that's what you believe, you should say the same thing about Chaya. It's because it mentions over here both Chaya v'Of. And you're saying it's only the oaf, but it says, Asher Yatsu Tzit Chaya O Oaf. So why don't you tell me that you don't believe that a Chaya needs a Shechita Min HaTorah? Because after all, it says V'Shafach. You're being very inconsistent. No. There's no Havamina that Chaya does not need Shechita. Why not? It says Ben HaBakar. Where does it ever say to Shecht a Chaya? I'll remember what the din is of Psulei HaMukdashim. This requires concentration. Yes, now we're getting some eye focus. That's a first beginning. You know who I'm speaking to. Little hints of smiles. All right. So if that's the case, if Psulei HaMukdashim, what does the Torah say about Psulei HaMukdashim? It says exactly what you should eat it the same way that you eat the Tzvi V'ayal. HaTamei V'HaTahor Yachdav, Ki Tzvi V'cha Ayal. Now Tzvi and Ayal are both, not Ayal, Ayal, are both Chayot. These are wild animals. Why are you comparing Psulei HaMukdashim to wild animals? Obviously the Pashtus of the Pasuk is telling me that, well, there's no din over there because they're never brought on the Mizbeach, and there's no din that limit their kachim and using them the way that you want. That's true. But, I mean, it tells me, meanwhile, that there's the same din of Tzvi V'Ayal is the din of the animals that you would use for Hektish. And therefore, Tzvi V'Ayal, for sure, Chayot require Shechita. Oh, but if that's the case, so then you could say the same thing about birds. Birds are also compared to behemoth. Remember our favorite Zot Torah Tabehimava Oath? Well, so we should say the same thing. Ein Hekesh L'Mechza. And therefore, even though you learned from there that Malika teaches us the Makom Shechita, you should also say the opposite. That it's true that the mammal tells us what you have to shecht. The fact is you have to shecht the bird. You can't say that it doesn't need Shechita. No, that's the whole point that Rabbi Yitzchak ben Menachem was making. It says v'shafach adamo. It says beferish, to pour it out, which means that you don't need shechita. Listen, I mean, what are you just picking one out of the hat? You got a problem over here. Your problem is that on the one hand, it says both chaya va'ov are b'shvicha. Then on the other hand, you're telling me, well, it can't mean the chaya. Why? Because tzvi v'ayal is compared to behema. Well, I ask you, well, so is Oaf compared to Behema. So then you pick out of the hat the one that you like, you know? So you tell me, okay, so then the Chaya is the thing that doesn't need Shechita, and the Oaf is the thing that doesn't need Shechita. I don't understand. My Chazita, the Shadile al Oaf. So why did you take this word, Shvicha, and say, well, that is coming to tell me a bird, it's efficient if you do Shvicha. Why say it's the bird? Why not say it's the Chaya? Why not say the Chaya is sufficient if you do it b'shvicha, and instead use the Ekesh of Zot Torah Tabehima Va'ov to tell me that the bird requires Shechita? Well, look, I mean, it's much more reasonable, isn't it, to say that the word v'shafach is going on the bird, because it's Mishum Desolek Mineh. The last words in the Pasuk, it says, Chaya O'ov Asher Yotzud Sod Chaya Va'ov, V'shafach etamo. So what's the word that comes right next to v'shafach? The bird. So therefore, it's reasonable that the bird does not require anything but shvicha, and that should be sufficient. How could that be true? Well, you take a look at the Mishnah we're going to have later on. It says, if somebody was shechting, and he made a mistake in the shechita, whatever, hagroma, ikur, something happened, it was nisnabla b'yada. So if it was nisnabla b'yada, well, for that matter, even if he went on purpose and he made it into an avela, he was nocher, he was ma'aker. The din is that since it says asher yeachel, asher yatzut said of chayava of asher yeachel, if it's not kosher to eat, then you don't need to cover up its blood either. So it's potter milachasot. But Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas, how is he going to explain that? If you don't need Shechita min HaTorah, so then if you stabbed it, or you ripped out the simanim, that's the same thing as shechting it, according to him, because its nefira is the equivalent to its shechita. So why don't you need to do kisui adam? And here the Mishnah says beferich, that if in fact you didn't make it kosher for afila, that means that you were okay. You don't need kisui adam, but according to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas, you did make it kosher afila. You did what would be the equivalent of shechita for a bird. Brucey. 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 Oh, no. Dear Brucey, have you left us? My gosh, what do we do? Akiva, you want to poke him? You're the one under him. Oh, Brucey! Very weak responses here. We've got you hooked up to this monitor. It seems like you're dead. You better do better than... Ah, there we go. Okay, we're getting some readings now. All righty. So then, according to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas, you did an achira, which is the equivalent of the shechita, and therefore it's roi la'achila, and it should be included in the pasuk of tzot chayav of asher ye'achel. So why don't you have to be mechaser damo? Nechirato zoi shechitato. If you stabbed it, then you basically did shechita on it. So why don't you have to do kisui? Liboy kisui, you should absolutely need kisui according to this. And the Mishnah says you don't need kisui. So clearly Reb Yitzchak ben Pinchas is wrong. And shechita la'of is min ha-Torah. No. That part wasn't talking about the birds. That was talking about the chaya. So if you kill the chaya with a non-kosher shechita, you don't have to do kisui adam. But if you did the same to a bird, I say you would have to do kisui adam. So don't ask me from that. Well, what about this brayta? I got another brayta to prove that Reb Yitzchak ben Pinchas' shita that ain't shita la'of min ha-Torah. I mean, this would put Beit Yosef shita out of business. I mean, if we paskin like Reb Yitzchak ben Pinchas, good heavens, people would actually have to eat all of that treifus stuff coming out of Of HaGalil. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so if that were the case, then how do you explain this brayta? Hashochet v'tzarech ledam. Now, suppose you did a shechita, but you need the blood for industrial purposes. So now, if you want to take that blood, there's no way you're going to be able to take that blood without covering it with afar, and then you're going to ruin it. I mean, how are you going to use contaminated blood that's filled with dirt? So v'tzarech ledam, you're still going to have to do kisur. So what should you do if you need blood for industrial purposes? So let's say you work for Vampires Incorporated. I mean, so what are you going to do? How do you get that blood? Well, you could do Nechira, or you can do Akira. Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, yeah, who said it's talking about birds? Well, let me ask you something, baby. What do you normally use blood for on an industrial level that you're telling me you wouldn't be able to shecht it? I mean, that is very standard. My lav ba'of. They used to use bird blood to be the equivalent of what we use as mothballs. It protects clothing from moths. They don't lay their larvae in a place where there's dam of a bird. That's the only thing I can think of that you're talking about. You're manufacturing blood balls. So the kaboy lay the dam in liyanika. So, you see, it is referring to bloods of bird. And it says, nope, if you, no matter what you do, you're going to have to cover it unless you just stab it. But according to Yitzchak ben Pinchas, that nechira is the shechita. So, you're still going to need to cover the dam. There's my raya against Yitzchak ben Pinchas. And Yitzchak ben Pinchas says, nah, it's talking about a chaya. You ask me, what are the industrial usages of chaya bird? They use the bird of chayot to make those beautiful red lacquer shoes that all of those girls come out with. And where do you think you get that bright colored, shiny lack? That all comes from dam of a chaya. So if
there's no place like home.
What do you mean?
The ruby slipper.
Yeah. The kaboyle. Lidame lilakas. It's talking about you need it for lack. And therefore, it's what are you going to do? So it's telling you what to do with the chaya. But there's no problem when, there's no solution, I mean, to the problem of the oath, according to me, because an oath does not require it. Tashma, okay, I got another kasha, okay, that shows that Rabbi Yitzchak Pinchas can't be right. He's claiming you don't need shvita for an oath. So here it says, if a kohen does malika using, maybe we've done too much, because I don't know, we can keep going, but this tashma seems to be a nice place to end, I guess. Yeah, because it's like a little, keeps on going a little bit. Okay, so I think that is a lovely beginning to the Inyonim of Shchita. So we talked about the five Sulim of Shchita a number of times. Make sure you know it. And we talked about how there's a remez either to a Mokum Shchita. We talked about the relationship of Shchita to a Sifa on the one hand and to actual Shchita and how a bird is in the middle of the two. And that was actually a mind-opening issue, that the questions of Shchita or Asifa actually have to do with the level of life that's in the particular organism, which is defined from its point of departure from other species. And we learned also that with all of the Ramazim that we have, the real meaning of those psukim, other than the remez, is to tell me not to cut through, or that you don't need to cut through, that was a machlokas rishanin, the bone of the neck. We were left with certain things that were unclear, because we had a machlokas, the rif, another rishonim, about whether both the rutsim that we gave of the bidiyavad, if both of them are true, then that would mean that lechatchila, you're supposed to shecht all the way through both simonim on a behima, and lechatchila, you're supposed to shecht both simonim on an oath. And that would mean both of those piskei halachas would be nogei halacha lemaisa today. That the Rif disagrees with, but in any event, we definitely do that. Lechatchila. Okay, a nice, quick job on the basics of Shchita. Looking forward to seeing you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. Those of you who are into the bird, I don't know where Alon is heading today, but maybe the day is the perfect day to go to the Rekak, in which case you would have to go to the Chula Valley. So if you're doing any tours today, you or David or Barnea, today is the day. And actually, if we can get Richie out of retirement for a day like today, it would be a perfect visit to the Chula and take a look at that Rekak and all those beautiful birds coming right out of that Rekak. Lovely. Have a great day. And if you go, give me a call. I'd love to go up. Take care.